Chiyoko now. Here's a Hunter, and he'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise, La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Gardiner. Only left Cooper standing. Kelly! What a save! Gordon Banks!
It hits the top of my hand and goes in that direction. Honestly, God, I thought it was a goal. Now I'm breaking my fall. I don't know where it's gone. I'm breaking my fall on the heart. I hit the floor. The momentum of the save brings my lower part of my body. Right, my head comes down, and I now see the ball bounce behind the goal. And I said to myself, Banksy, you're lucky.
That's the legendary Gordon Banks talking about what some call the greatest save ever in the sport of football when he denied a header from Pelé. Thoughts on Gordon Banks, Alex?
One of the best goalkeepers that I can remember. You know, I play as a goalkeeper back when I was 300 pounds lighter. But, you know, as a goalkeeper, you know, you always think and know that as a goalkeeper, he's the hardest position in the field. You know, you cannot make mistakes. And this was the guy that you can see how he played the area. You know, he was not afraid of anything. And, you know, good. I was reading about him back, you know, a few years back. And it was amazing to see that one of the best goalkeepers, you know, when the first he got transferred to Leicester City, I believe, he was transferred for like 7,000 euros.
Yeah, it was a little different financially.
A little different from now. You know, nowadays, you know, a goalkeeper, you know, he's, you know, with his experience, you know, we'd probably be like, look at Keylor Navas, for instance, you know, $4 to $8 million.
We had Alex Stepney here last year for the dinner we had for the Curing Children's Cancer, won the 501c charity. And Alex Stepney talked about Gordon Banks because he was his backup on the national team. Alex Stepney also was noted for an infamous save in the what was then called the European Cup, now the Champions League, when he denied the great Eusebio, who at the time was considered the second greatest player in the world, to Pelé. And he told us all about that incredible moment where he was one-on-one with Eusebio, made the save, and then they go on to win the European Cup. So these are guys that are just historic, legendary. And, you know, we're losing a lot of these guys now. But 66 World Cup winner Gordon Banks, he also played with one eye for a time, and he played here in America in Cleveland and with the Fort Lauderdale Strikers for a short time as well. We're in studio here. Alex Benegas joining us here. And a quick thing I want to remind you, coming up on April 3rd, I'm just going to let the cat out of the bag a little bit. We're going to be doing an event for pediatric cancer. It's a night with commentators. It's Bill Worrell, myself, and Bill Brown, who was a longtime Astros announcer, and it's just kind of a very low-key event. It's commentators talking about what they do, and it's going to be a fun night. There's going to be a whiskey offering and tasting there. It's going to be at the Federal Bar and Grill on Shepherd. So it's going to be a great night. I'll have more details for it. We'll put it up on social media as well. All right. Back to Alex. Marco Fabian to the Philadelphia Union. What do you think about it?
Great. I think it's great. You know, back 5 years ago, we used to say that the MLS was going to be, in 10 years, the best league in CONCACAF. You know, I think we're on the way. We're on the way. Not because of the players that are coming to the league. It's just players, coaches. Now the MLS, it's more attractive to international players. Back in the days, you would come here just to close your career. Nowadays, you know, you have very active players, you know, coming to the MLS. And Marcos Fabian is one of them. The Dos Santos brothers, you know, Bella, Carlos Bella.
Are the Dos Santos brothers here to play soccer, or are they here to party in L.A.?
I think they were a little bit of both.
Super talented. Yeah. I mean, I played with their uncle, Beto Dos Santos, but I think it's pretty clear they couldn't carry the team because I think Gio was brought to be the centerpiece, and then they've gone and gotten Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
And then Jonathan came along, and that's it, you know? But, I mean, it's a very,
very talented player, though. No disrespect.
Both of them are very talented players. But, you know, it's just that I think MLS, Marcos Fabián is another great addition to the MLS.
How will he fit in Philadelphia? Because I grew up on the East Coast. It's different. A city of brotherly love.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, though, there's going to be a new influx of unique fans and fans that are Mexican fans and fans of Marco Fabián, who's incredibly talented, coming back from the Bundesliga.
Marco Fabián is one of those players that we've seen play in different positions. And I think it's going to be interesting to see him, you know, in Philadelphia, not only for the fact that how many fans he can bring to the stadium in Etcetera, but the game that he can play. I mean, he's a very talented player. You know, one of those players that you can put in different positions, and he's able to do it. You know, like I think it's different, like from us here in the South, but obviously interesting to see Marco Fabián in Philadelphia. Another great addition, I think, it's the Salvadorian player, Fito Celaya, you know, to Los Angeles Football Club.
Yeah, he was one that kind of we thought was going to come to Major League Soccer prior, never really did. And listen, that's a signing. And look, teams are making signings, and they're going to say, oh, no, we're not pandering to anybody. It's a huge Salvadorian community in L.A. This could help at the gate. It's us with the Hondurans here in Houston with Albert Elise from El Quioto, Boniac Garcia, and now Minor Figueroa. These guys are legends in Honduras.
They are. And they're really known players in Central America as a whole, you know, and so I think it's going to be really, really interesting to see how the MLS is going to evolve in this next 5 years.
Yeah, me too. I think one of the cool signings too was also the fact that Miguel Almiron went to Atlanta, carved out an incredible 2 years here, wins an MLS Cup under Tata Martino, and becomes the highest transfer ever in the history of Newcastle Football Club. So pretty incredible stuff. Alex Benegas.
Thank you, sir.
Univision Deportes Radio Network. He is the host of Acción Centro America. Thank you so much for coming in here tonight. He's going to have the call on the radio, by the way, of the Dynamo and Huastatoya.
Yes,
so thank you for that.
It's an honor, Glenn. Thank you very much. I admire you. I admire your work. And it's always a pleasure.
Back at you, and we'll do a bro hug here in a minute.
Definitely.
All right. Alex Benegas, thank you very much for coming on tonight. When we come back, it's Walker Zimmerman of the U.S. national team, the center back in LAFC. Speaking of them, he will join me. He will be in town when the U.S. takes on Chile on March 26th. You get your tickets at ussoccer.com or call the BBVA Compass box office, 713-547-3000. We'll take a break. More to come. It's a Daspit Law Break.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. As everybody knows, in March 26th, the United States national team will take on Chile right here in Houston at BBVA Compass Stadium on the east side of downtown. Tickets available at ussoccer.com, or you can call the BBVA Compass box office at 713-547-3000. You know this guy from Major League Soccer, play with FC Dallas and LAFC. Walker Zimmerman, center back for the United States national team, joining us now. Walker, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, well, let's first talk about your goal against Panama. I want to get right to that because I love the celebration. What was the intention there after you scored that goal and kind of that look you had? Because there was something emphatic about that.
Right. Well, I often get pretty crazy after I score goals, kind of black out, don't really know what happens. But that particular celebration is kind of an inside joke that we can make public a little bit. So Christian Roldan and I have been having a conversation in camp, and there was a bet on the table for who could have the most header goals in the 2019 season. And so that was actually a tally mark to mark the first goal of the rivalry. But he went on to say that the national team goals do not count. So if there is a header goal later in the year in MLS, I will probably be using that celebration to mark the tally.
So wait, were the rules changing as this goes by?
Yeah, I think he got scared with how quickly I got on the board. So I think I gave him that one as a charity plus one. I'll take it off the board. So it's going to be just the MLS season, I think, for that particular bet.
Is there anything better for a center back to score in a game?
Absolutely not. That's as good as it gets for any position. I mean, scoring a goal is definitely a unique feeling that is definitely the highlight of any game.
He's Walker Zimmerman, LAFC, FC Dallas. We know him in Houston from his time there as well. He's joining us now, the United States national team in town to take on Chile. Get your tickets for that at ussoccer.com because we want to fill the stadium here in Houston, not only to support what is a very interesting, I think, young national team, but also for the World Cup 2026 bid and being a host city here in Houston. You know, I always hear people complaining about, you know, oh, there's nothing to talk about the national team. And I'm sitting here looking at young guys like Walker Zimmerman, Tyler Adams, all these young guys getting opportunity. I actually think it's a very, very interesting time right now for the national team, maybe more so than in recent times.
You know, I actually have to agree with you on that. There is a level of, you know, new players that have come into the system. It's changing, obviously, with the new coach and Greg Berhalter and his staff. Kind of a different style of play being enforced. But I think it's a good chance for people to check out the newer faces, like myself, Tyler Adams, as you mentioned. A lot of these young guys who are starting to get opportunities. And I think the fans should also know how passionate we are to make sure that we put on a good performance and really try and put on put something on the field that people are proud of. And so we hope that people can watch us and be inspired. And that's certainly our goal every time we step on the pitch.
Yeah, there's a lot in that response there. And you know, look, all of you are trying to establish yourself to a manager. I don't think there's any question about that. First and foremost, you got to establish yourself, make the team and be a part of a manager's plans. But on the other hand, do all of you feel kind of that sense that you just alluded to that, hey, look, you know, we got to begin to take control of our national team as a younger, newer set of guys coming in now?
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. You know, we want to inspire. We want to put a product out there that people are proud of because that's what's going to get people watching and rooting and supporting us. And so we accept that responsibility. And we certainly try in training just to better ourselves that when these moments come, we can perform against a team like Chile in Houston. If we get those results and put out a good product, then it's only going to grow our support and it's going to be better for our national team as a whole.
Walker, what does it mean to you when you put your, you know, the first time you put the U.S. jersey on and you picked up that first cap and that first appearance? I mean, that's a dream that is carried all over soccer fields around the country. Every young kid growing up wants to put on a U.S. jersey for the most part one day. What did it mean to you?
For sure. And it's funny because you always have this checklist in your head of goals and dreams. And so, obviously, I think my first one was, you know, playing collegiate soccer. And then from there, it's I want to be a professional. And then from there, it's like I want to be a starter. And then I want to make the national team, get my first cap, score my first goal. So it's constantly evolving, these checklists. And that first cap was definitely a big one, one of the biggest milestones I've had in my career. And fortunately for me, it was in Chattanooga. I had my family from Atlanta was able to drive up and watch the game. And we had a 1-0 result against Jamaica. And really, the whole thing was very special. And I'll certainly remember that first cap for a really long time.
Speaking of Atlanta and you being born there, are you surprised with what's going on with Atlanta United? I sometimes feel like people don't realize that Atlanta does have professional soccer history. I mean, look, I don't think anybody knew it was going to blow up like this. But you know, Atlanta's history in professional soccer and the youth game, et cetera, has been there. It's not like soccer just dropped down out of the out of the heavens the last 2 years for Atlanta United.
Right. I would be surprised if anyone maybe outside of the Atlanta front office expected it to take off as well as it did. I certainly thought they could be successful. You know, there's obviously a thriving youth soccer environment there. But in terms of, you know, getting 70,000 out to a match at the Benz, I mean, that's pretty incredible. And so to be from Atlanta and to know that they have that kind of support, it's encouraging because people are starting to really pay attention. They obviously won an MLS Cup, bringing a trophy to Atlanta, the ever-elusive sports trophy in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And it's been a really good start for them, and I'm glad they can have some momentum from being successful in their first couple seasons.
He's Walker Zimmerman. We're looking forward to seeing him in the U.S. men's national team here in Houston. That'll be March 26th, BBVA Compass Stadium, to take on Chile, which is a really formidable opponent. That's going to be a really good test. You can get your tickets at ussoccer.com. Come out and see some of the young rising stars of the national team, like Walker. Speaking of Atlanta, I mean, you were in a pretty amazing environment yourself with LAFC this year in Major League Soccer. Speak to that a little bit.
Well, you're right. LAFC is definitely going about things the right way. What they have created in such a short period of time and all the attention to detail that goes on at this club is really special. I remember walking into the stadium as it's being constructed and kind of being told about, the north end and the 3252 and how things would look. And then when we had our first home game and seeing all of that put together and all of the work of all the ticket sales and front office and getting everyone to the game, I mean, what we've created in LA is truly one of a kind. Our supporters are so passionate. They're into every game, home and away. And then I think just in terms of taking care of players, they've done a really, really good job of making sure that we have nothing to worry about except becoming the best athletes we can be and focusing on our performances in LA.
I would imagine players in Major League Soccer like yourself love the fact that the Atlantas are coming in, the LAFCs are coming in and really raising the bar.
For sure, because, we want our league to be respected and known as one of the better leagues in the world. And you're not going to do that unless you have clubs like Atlanta, like LA, drawing out full stadiums, putting a good product out in the field, and really engaging with their supporters. And so I think those two clubs are great examples of how this league is growing and how this league is becoming more respected around the world.
He's Walker Zimmerman, former FC Dallas, now at LAFC, wonderful center back. USsoccer.com is where you get your tickets for the U.S. against Chile, and that game is on March 26th. Very much looking forward to seeing that one. All right, so you've had two games in a row now pairing with Aaron Long. Talk about the pairing, because as we all know, center backs have to play as one, and you guys may have differing qualities. How does that mesh, and how do you enjoy playing alongside Aaron?
Well, it's been very good. We've now had three consecutive national team games together, dating back to last November against Italy, where unfortunately suffered a late goal in stoppage time to lose that one 1-0, and then we got two shutouts in January. And so the pairing's been good. We've actually become pretty good friends off the field as well, which only helps. And it only helps your communication and your trust and your understanding of the other person. And I think Aaron is an athletic center back. And Greg's system that he's implemented so far, Aaron's played very central. And we're building out oftentimes with three, and I've been tilted to the right side a little bit. And so we're both understanding and learning this new system together. And I think so far it's been very good, very organized, very committed. And I think we're both guys that are winners, and we just want to win. And so knowing that you have a guy next to you who's willing to sacrifice everything he has for the team, I think it's been really good for both of us.
I would say you got a great core of center backs with the national team. I got to think the competition is going to be very intense with John Brooks, with Matt Miazga, and a number of other center backs. That you got to relish that, don't you? And you got to separate yourself, right?
Definitely. We're fortunate to have some really young and talented center backs coming up, like you mentioned, and that's only gonna help us in the long run. Anytime you have competition in a position, and we're starting to have a lot of depth and a lot of positions on the field, but certainly center back, it's an important position, certainly a leadership role there. And all the guys that you mentioned are definitely going to have to come in and compete. And it's only going to help us get better individually and collectively.
Walker, in the world's game, are there any center backs that you kind of look at and take pieces of their game and maybe model your game after?
Well, I think there's different parts of different center backs' games that I look up to. And obviously watching the best teams in the world, you look at a guy like PK and his ability to make plays and the way he can one-on-one defend for a big guy, a tall guy, and willing to commit to his decisions. He's very decisive. And then on the attacking end, I love watching Sergio Ramos on his set pieces and his prowess for scoring goals, because I certainly love that part of the game. And so it's fun to watch a center back be so dangerous in the box on set pieces.
Is there anything specifically that Greg Berhalter, the U.S. manager, is is kind of telling you that he wants to see it out of you in that position. You know, it could be in any facet of the game. It could be building the attack. It could be your positional play. Anything specific that he's really kind of taking you through that might be different than what you get from Bob Bradley at LAFC?
Yeah, I think fortunately for me, I think the way we play at LAFC is a possession-based club, trying to oftentimes get out of the back and have the ball at the feet of our center backs. It's been good for me to have a year under my belt with Bob prior to going into camp with Greg. The similarity is definitely the ability to break lines as a center back and to hit firm passes on the ground that can immediately take away four or five defenders at one time. Mm-hmm. So that's been a big focus for certainly January camp, also at LAFC. And I would say the other thing is just the composure of building out of the back. I think it's definitely something that Greg has utilized in his time with Columbus. And so it's just getting deep, especially on goal kicks, having the composure to be pressured and knowing that a turnover could lead to a goal, but staying calm and trusting in the system to build out break lines. And all of a sudden we can have a chance on the attacking end, just coming from a goal kick, if we can do all those things.
Hey, we're really happy to have Walker Zimmermann on the show tonight here. Again, we remind you that the United States men's national team in Houston, March 26th, they will take on Chile. USsoccer.com for your tickets, or go to BBVA Compass, the box office, you can call it, 713-547-3000. We want to get a big crowd in there for the U.S. men's national team coming down here. Describe the way you play the game as a center back. In other words, the Houston Dynamo got a new center back, Kiki Struna, who's played in the Italian Serie A. He describes himself as a very aggressive center back. And prior to getting on this call with you, I'm watching him out in Arizona in a preseason game. And he's not afraid to jump very deep into midfield and actually break out of that line of four to go challenge people into midfield, which there is a bit of an element of risk with that. What kind of center back are you, Walker?
Well, I think certainly athleticism is one of the first things that comes to mind, and a prowess for aerial challenges has always been a major strength. Being able to deal with the physical fours, to hold up number nines, those are definitely some of my strengths. And then certainly as a passer, there's, you know, other than scoring goals, I think the other big thrill I get is making a pass that immediately breaks four or five defenders and starts a attacking sequence for our team. And so I've really worked a lot in the past year of getting the ball, quickly making a decision, and breaking lines with a pass. And like I said, it's thrilling, and you feel like you're actually playing a major role in the attack when you can do those things.
Walker Zimmermann joining us. A couple more questions for him, and then we're going to let him get on his way, but we really appreciate him coming on the show here today. How about a little bit more on Greg Berhalter? Because, you know, obviously U.S. fans are pretty excited about the change in management here now and the focus that has finally come with naming a manager. What is it you like about Greg, and what are some of the demands maybe he's beginning to put on you guys?
Well, I like his attention to detail. I think he's very, very particular about his tactics, the system that he wants to implement. And I'm sure that there will be adaptations to that particular formation and to those tactics. But this January was focusing on buying into that system. And so a lot of times he was just on the whiteboard with the magnets there and just showing us exactly what he wanted. And then we'd go out on the field and we'd replicate it. We'd go to the video room, we'd watch the exact sequences over and over. And so this attention to detail and this repetition definitely ingrained in us how we were going to play. And as a player, you need to have a plan for each and every game. And so I thought he did a very good job of preparing us. And so that's the coach's job, is we're going to be the players. We're going to go out there, play, compete, but we're going to do so with the plan that the coaches give. And I think he did a really good job of that. And just developing the team spirit, team bonding, and the way that he related to us off the field, whether it's at team dinners, the way him and his staff just interacted with the players, really made us feel comfortable, got to know us as people. And it definitely did go a long way in terms of really creating a team feel after a month together.
What else is it that you think players want out of managers?
Well, I think definitely the plan, as I mentioned. I think you want someone who can inspire you, because you can get caught up in playing a game every Saturday and showing up and doing the same things over and over. And to prevent that from being monotonous, you need someone who can inspire, who can lead, especially through adversity. And so U.S. Soccer just put out a Behind the Crest video, and it took you into the halftime speech that he gave against Costa Rica, where we didn't have the best first half, and he challenged us to be better and inspired us in that talk. And certainly we came out in the second half and had a better performance, got the result. But those are the moments that you have to have a pulse for as a manager, and how you relate to your team. When is it the time to address them calmly? When is it the time to try and get someone fired up individually in front of the group? All these things they take a very keen attention to detail. And I think that's one of Greg's specialties, and he impressed me with that in January.
On the lighter side, Walker, what do you like to do on a typical day off or with your free time?
I love competing all the time, so I'm a big fan of card games, board games, any type of competition, really. I love to play golf. Very avid golfer when I get the chance, but it's definitely hard to during the season. But yeah, I love watching all sports, watching LeBron James, Tiger Woods, two of my favorite athletes. I would say all those things. Anything that has to do with competition and sports is usually something that's going to be right up my alley.
Including a heading competition with Christian Roldan, right? So, I mean, why would I not put my money on you?
Yeah, I'm asking myself the same thing. I can't believe he was the one who approached me with the bet as well. I think that tells you something about his confidence. So please stay tuned, and I'm sure you'll be updated throughout the season via social media on how that's going.
Yeah, I'm definitely tracking that, and we're going to have you back on. If he takes the lead, I'm going to have you back on right away.
I'm going to get really worried, for sure.
Listen, Walker, tremendous interview. Thank you very much. We look forward to seeing you down here in Houston, Texas, when you guys take on Chile. I really appreciate your time, and I think our listeners will have really enjoyed this interview here tonight.
Thank you for having me on. Can't wait to see you in Houston.
All right, that's Walker Zimmerman, LAFC, United States men's national team. Again, tickets for the March 26th game, ussoccer.com. You can get them there, or you can go to BBVA Compass Stadium box office, 713-547-3000. We'll take a break. More to come.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. To Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
We're going to wrap it up in big style here tonight. First, a word for Advantage BMW and my friends at Advantage BMW Midtown. Now, I've driven a BMW for years. I've owned from Advantage BMW Midtown. I love the drive of a BMW. I drive a 5 Series. I absolutely love it. The other thing I love is the customer service at BMW. Second to none, Advantage BMW in Midtown has you covered with sales, service, and finance. It can be done so easy. So get down there, get that hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown, AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Get in there, say hello to Philip, Justin, Sergio. These guys all love soccer. They love the Dynamo. Get down there. They'll take care of you at Advantage BMW Midtown. Now, last week, we had a wonderful interview with Rennie Muhlenstein, the former assistant coach under Sir Alex Ferguson for 12 years at Manchester United, talking everything Cristiano Ronaldo and Wayne Rooney. Here is part two with Rene Muhlenstein. Now, your thoughts on the U.S., because when I look at you, I'm going, you know, this could be a man that could be a manager in Major League Soccer. Would that ever appeal to you? And I would imagine that you have had some connection with MLS teams interested in you managing their club.
Well, it would definitely have interested me. I have to say, I was very close, at the time of the MLS. I met a fantastic guy at the time as the CEO of the Philadelphia Union, and Nick Sakiewicz was obviously not longer with the club anymore. He's moved on, but he had a very good and strong background himself, played the game himself. He was very, very important within, the MLS and also the growth of the MLS. So he knew the club inside out, and that was something I was looking for. He needed to understand, because not many managers from Europe have been successful in the United States, and obviously there's a reason for it. So you need to make sure that you've got the right backing, But like I said, it's always appealed to me. you know, in that respect, I think the United States, first of all, is a fantastic country. It's an exciting country. And what I saw, you know, in the 6 months that I was the consultant of the Philadelphia Union, I only walked away with a lot of positives.
And you know, Rennie, we love the Dutch in the U.S.
Yeah, of course.
We absolutely love the Dutch in the U.S. You know, the first time that I saw, well, not the first time, but the 1974 World Cup final is indelibly etched in my mind because I never forget, number one, the orange uniforms of the Netherlands, the long hair, the way these guys were playing the game. And I actually watched the World Cup final. They had four screens on the floor of Madison Square Garden in New York. And at that point in my life, I had never been in a room or a building with that many Dutch and German before. It was unbelievable. And no, yeah, but I mean, you know, when you look back at these major influences in your life, what would be that one singular moment that just really, from your perspective, just said, this is the game for me?
Well, for me, it was watching Johan Cruyff, yeah. You know, and Ajax and Holland in 74. I mean, when you watched it and you followed it, Dave, I don't know whether you can remember that game against Brazil in Dortmund. I think it was just an incredible game, because Holland really wasn't really, they just introduced themselves to the world stage, and Brazil has already been there, obviously winning previous World Cups, and it was one of the first years that Pele wasn't involved. But for such a small country to make such an impact, and not only just by the results, but by the, you know, the complete different style which they then, yes, you know, they then named it Total Football. It was just amazing. But I thought, you know, what really caught me always when I was watching Johan Cruyff play, it wasn't like somebody like playing soccer. It was different. It was a combination of sport, dance, art. You know, it was just, you know, what makes it a beautiful game.
And his influence to you as the way he looked at the game and how unique and differently he looked at it. I mean, I've seen him sitting around a table with you know, four other ex-players or managers, and all four of those guys are in agreement, and then he goes completely 180 to what they say. Was there something in the way that he looked at this game?
Yes, 100%, 100%. And like I said, he's very well known in Holland about his way of expressing himself. You know, I mean, you know, he could say things where people would have scratched their hands, and you know, like, one line that springs to my mind would say, in football, you're not quick or slow, you are on time or you are too late. And mm-hmm. and that sums him up, you know, that's all about timing. And it's all about making sure you depart, you know, at the right time, you know, so the pass can be played. So it's nothing to do with quick and slow, things like that. And, you know, he was always amazing in his way of thinking. But what really struck me was his outlook in how that game should be played, and that was always be on the front foot, attacking, attractive football with an obligation to entertain the fans. See, a lot of managers now are so much under pressure because of the results that they need to get, because of the owners and the money that's involved, and therefore, a lot of times the product that we like to see on the pitch is not going to happen because of people are a little bit afraid to be too expensive. And Johan Cruyff was obviously the only managed teams that he wanted to manage in Barcelona and Ajax. And he said, it is my way or no way. But, you know, he was very successful in his way and his approach. And it was one of the most exciting soccer that you could watch.
Rennie Meulensteen, right now he's the assistant coach for Australia, was an assistant to Sir Alex Ferguson, has coached all over the world in places like India, the Middle East, in Russia. Any of those countries in particular? Yeah, tell us a little bit about India, because Indian football is pretty popular, isn't it?
Well, it's obviously catching on. They've got sort of two big leagues. You've got the I League, which is a league that spans, that's more organized through the Indian FA, and then you've got the Indian Super League, that is basically a short. It's not really a league, so it's more a tournament that runs over 4 months, where, well, it has to be correct. I think there's 10 teams in there at the moment, you know, which has been supported by, you know, by some wealthy businessmen, I think it's the fifth or the sixth edition of this year, and it's catching on. Obviously, again, in India, the most important sport, or the most popular sport, is obviously cricket, but there's so many soccer fans in India. It's unbelievable. I had the opportunity to manage Kerala Blasters in the south of India, in Cochin, a fantastic club with an unbelievable fan base. It was just incredible. But, you know, the problems that we sort of faced is that, you know, at times that because it's all new, there's a lot of sort of hiccups in terms of logistics, in organizational things. They still need to get the environment and the resources in place. But that will come over time if they put the right investment in the right places. They appoint the right people. That's another aspect that sometimes why things fall short. But yeah, it was an incredible experience for sure.
I saw a picture you posted. It was unbelievable. Of the crowd at one of the games. Just unbelievable. Two quick questions. Well, we're going to let you go. We've held you on here a long time, and I can't tell you, I just realized how long we've been on the, on here doing this interview, and I apologize for going so long here, but it's just fascinating to listen to you. Tell me, why is the concept of giving a manager enough time just so difficult now at the highest levels of the game? And obviously these owners are wealthy, successful people. But why is it that they can't comprehend that a manager needs time to implement, you know, whether it's tactics, a culture, all the things that we know it takes to build a great football team and a club culture?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's a shame, really, because that's why you get so many knee-jerk reactions, and that's why you get so many, you know, changes. And the most important thing that I've experienced over my time working, you know, alongside and under Sir Alex Ferguson was the two most important pillars that you need in any walk of life, in any business, in any family, but also in any sport or any topic organization, is stability and continuity. And continuity has to do with the vision, how you want to be successful in the short, medium, and long term. Stability is created by the people being there for a longer period. If any of the two is not there, you get an imbalance, you know, and somewhere down the line, something has got to give. And that's why we were so strong at that time with Manchester United, so to speak. And you could see what happened after Sir Alex Ferguson left. And suddenly, there's a different people come in with different ideas, different visions. And suddenly, that continuity and the stability is under threat. It's gone. Now, what you see nowadays with a lot of big businessmen with a lot of money, they've got an interest in soccer clubs and buying soccer clubs. There's a lot of Americans, as we know, and both clubs in the EPL, there's Chinese, there's Russians, there's Americans, there is people from Thailand, China, whatever. They all come in there and they've got a certain ambition, you know, with what they want to achieve. Whether they want to grow the club or they want to sort of be successful to feed their own ego. No matter what you take, at the end of the day is the money is there to create the environment and the resources. So the problem with those owners is they say, well, listen, we give you the money and you could buy this player and that player and this player and this player. What I know from experience, and any other manager with experience will back this up, to build a successful team, it takes you, give and take, a season and a half, 18 months. That's what it takes for a manager and the players to get used to each other, for him to implement his primary ideas, then to start working with it, and then to fine-tune it, and then to get him to play. If you look at Pep Guardiola and Manchester City, it took him 18 months before he got Man City to play the way that he did. Jurgen Klopp is now exactly in the same stage with Liverpool. You know, and I can go on and go on and go on. The most important thing is for owners to understand, yes, money is important because it creates resources, it brings quality to the club, but the most important thing what they need to keep an eye on is if the process that drives the whole organization, if that's okay. If that's okay, the results will come. Even though sometimes you play games and you not get the results or the win that you want, believe me, if the process is right, you've got the right people in place, eventually the results will come. But a lot of owners have unrealistic sort of, they all have the same ambitions, but a lot of times in an unrealistic timescale. So, and if they can't live up to those expectations, the managers, they start to chop and change. That's one thing, Dave. And the other most important thing is social media. Mm-hmm. Social media has become an unbelievable important aspect for that have a massive influence on how sometimes managers operate and how clubs make their decisions, because it's something that is very hard to control, managers or clubs. Mm-hmm. And fans know nowadays, if they shout long enough and hard enough, the clubs will react.
Wow, interesting stuff. Rennie Mullenstein, last one I'm going to ask you here, and I know you mentioned something a while back. You had a pretty interesting quote when you were just talking about Pep Guardiola, about when David Moyes took the job, and it was like going from a yacht to a cruise ship for Moyes, coming from Everton to Manchester United. Was that always going to be a coaching change that wasn't going to work out? And then on the other hand, is how does anybody turn that opportunity down?
Well, the reason why I sort of discussed this with David in person, because I was at the time with him, and we sort of were exchanging, you know, ideas, and he was asking questions, how did we operate, and mm-hmm. I was asking questions, you know, how he saw the things, and I basically was trying to explain to David, look at what opportunity you got in front of you. And with all respect, he's done a fantastic job at Everton for many, many years, but it was sort of, you know, chalk and cheese. And I said to him, do realize, David, you're going from a yacht to a cruise ship. Without being disrespectful to Everton, mm-hmm. I just wanted to try to paint the picture how big Man United is. Mm-hmm. Man United is massive. It's gigantic of a club, of a brand worldwide. It is not just a club that you manage. And I was trying to sort of, you know, guide him in a situation to say, listen, obviously, take the job, but take your time to get used to the size of the club. So in other words, you know, you've got an established team there that knows how it works. You know, lean on the experience of Sir Alex Ferguson, because he will support you in the background. And we sort of can get you on the way, and you will find your feet as we get along. That was basically the reasons behind it. But obviously everybody is different. David was very hands-on. He wanted to sort of come in and straight away make his own impact and an impression, you know, of the club and the players, and unfortunately it hasn't worked out for him.
Yeah, interesting. Last one, Frankie de Jong has gotten a lot of play here, the Ajax midfielder that's going to end up going to Barcelona. How about a word or two on him?
Yeah, it's another great young player that comes off the, you know, the Ajax youth system timing bell, so to speak. You know, he's a fantastic young prospect, great player, great vision. I can see all the reasons why Barcelona wants to bring him to the club, because it will suit him right down to the ground, the way they play. He's very comfortable and on the ball. He can beat a man. He can find a pass. So yeah, you know, it's good for Holland, not so good for Ajax. Obviously they get a lot of money for it, and they have to invest that again wisely. But Frankie de Jong is a fantastic move.
Rennie, I can't tell you how much I can thank you for being on the program. Really, just an amazing interview and a wonderful opportunity for me personally to talk to you. But also, I know more importantly, my listeners on this show have had an opportunity to really hear you talk about the world's game, Manchester United, you name it. So thank you so much for giving me all this time.
It was an absolute pleasure. And I hope it's not going to be only this time.
Renee, thank you again. So that does it here tonight on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. What a way to wrap it up with Rennie Mullenstein. Incredible interview with him, taking us behind the curtain with Sir Alex Ferguson at Manchester United. Again, a thank you to Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsor. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual, whether you get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction. The Daspit Law Firm is going to have you covered. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Get that representation you need at the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, our presenting sponsor on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Don't forget, get over to the podcast, podcastarena.com is where you get them. Also on iTunes, check us out on Facebook, Soccer Matters. We got our t-shirts over there for sale. 20% of those, the cost of those t-shirts will go towards the Curing Children's Cancer Fund, a 501c charity for pediatric cancer. So check us out, Facebook Soccer Matters, Twitter Glenn Davis Sock, Instagram Glenn Davis Sock, or glendavissoccer.com. That'll do it for Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. A big thank you tonight to producer Andrew and Victor.
ESPN 97.5.